Thank you. What we are talking today is not a Haftarah. We are talking about a Parshat HaShavua next week. And despite all the other shiurim will be related to the Parasha, the previous one was on the Yonah. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, Yirmiyahu, Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, and Hoshea, Shabbat Shuvah. We discussed last year the shiur on Parashat on Chana, the beginning of Shmuel. So we have quite a continuum collection on the Haftarot. Parsha Dvarim, I chose these 10 psukim, are an amazing text, extremely rich in thoughts, in messages, psychological messages of Ba'alei Tshuva, of everybody of us who is interested to learn more about it. And they have an amazing history, this parasha, an incredible history. So I took them to this collection of Haftarot because it's really something very, very unique, as you will hopefully see in the shiur. We will focus very much on the text and try to understand some of the context, intertext, and there are many, many messages to be learned from these psukim. Many messages, which some of them I will try to point out, and many others I leave it with you to read the text over and over. We will start with a reading of the text. I had the very special zchut to be a student of Nechama Leibovitch, Zichrona Livracha, one of the biggest teachers I ever met. And her detailed approach to read the text and the richness, how she could analyze it at a time when there were no computers, is remarkable. But most importantly, the way she tried to elaborate the messages for our life is totally unique to Nechama Leibovitch. She was an outstanding teacher and left many, many students who learned in her style about this tshuva. When I learned many years ago on Parshat Tshuva, I showed it to her and she read it through within a week. We met Friday in the library, Sifriya Leumit. She read it through. She took me to the side and we made a few comments, very detailed. She actually liked it, but she had one tough comment, which I will share with you later when we come to the text. So after the reading of the text and the effort to learn what's the message, what's the take-home message we should learn from our learning of the Torah and this parasha in particular, I want to do something which I normally don't do, but is very helpful for this parasha. And I will take four authors, primarily Ramban, Nachmanides, and Radon Yitzchak Abravanel of Teichtal in the 20th century, and Rav Kook. What did they have to say about the text? And that is called in German, it's a very interesting field, the discipline Rezeptionsgeschichte. What happened? What was the reception of this text in different times? So that's an interesting flow, what happened to the text. But I actually want to learn from Ramban, Abravanel, and the others, what comes out from the text that they took for their life and their period. And it's actually part of the text. They just helped us to look at that in the 13th century, in the 15th century, and in the 20th century. So that's a very interesting, unique technique. I like the discipline. It's much harder to do it because the text, you have the commentators and you will find it easily. And here you have to read to know some background. And there is a lot to be learned from that, actually tremendous messages, which I will show later. I like to have everything summarized on one page. It gets a little bit full, the one page, but the advantage is if you have everything on one page, it is somehow organized. I forgot to say that those who can read it in Hebrew, they have the paper here. It is a 15-page paper, which is summarizing the analysis I'm trying to present today. And the handout is just, if you want to teach it or to summarize it, learn it, you have it all together. Here we have the text, which we'll translate soon. And some aspects motifs of tshuva, of listening, of what is the topic of the tshuva, what is included in the personality of the tshuva. And in the table, which I try to make it clear, we have a connection to other parashiyot in the Torah. In Sefer Vayikra, we have a similar parasha. And we have in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 28, which we will read this week, the Tochacha, where there is a punishment if we do not follow the mitzvot and God ways. Next week's parasha afterwards will say, but even though there is a way to come back with tshuva. So this context is of great importance. Let's now start with the text, and we will go to the context as outlined in the previous file. What happened? The screen sharing is stopped. Can you see my screen?
Yeah, hello? We see it now. Sure.
Yes. Cool. So yes. Thank you. So here we have the text, black and white. I like to do the text with colors. I will read the text in Hebrew. It doesn't really help that I translate it. So thank you, Audrey, for preparing the best text, which fits to the analysis I'm going to give afterwards. But still, I work with the Hebrew text, and I put it right away in colors. I want to put it in colors. And what you will see in colors is tshuva as a motif which grows over these 10 psukim. What part of the personality is involved in red? And afterwards, what is the topic of the tshuva? What's the material we are dealing with in all the psukim? And what I want to point out in this analysis, there is a dynamic, there is a development, there is a growth. And if one is searching for tshuva, he has to be aware that it is not a one-point event. It is not an event that happens at once. There is a growth and a development, which is outlined so wonderfully in this short text. So let's read it and address afterwards these aspects. V'haya ki yavo elecha kol advarim ha'ele ha'bracha v'ha'klala asher natati lefanecha v'ha'shevota el levavecha. בכל הגויים אשר הדיחך השם אלוקיך שמה. 2. ושפת עד השם אלוקיך, ושמעת וקולו, ככל אשר אנוכי מצפך היום. אתה ובניך, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך. 3. ושב השם אלוקיך את שבותך וריחמך. ושב וקיבצך מכל העמים, אשר הפיצך השם אלוקיך שמה. אם יהיה נידחך בקצה השמיים, משם יקבצך השם אלוקיך, ומשם ייקחך. והביאך השם אלוקיך אל הארץ אשר ירשו אבותיך, וירשת והיטיבך והרבך מאבותיך. ומל השם אלוקיך את לבבך ואת לבב זרעך, לאהבה את השם אלוקיך, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך, למען חייך. 7. ונתן השם אלוקיך את כל העלות האלה על אויביך ועל שונאיך, אשר רדפוך. 8. ואתה תשוב, ושמעת בקול השם, ועשית את כל מצוותיו אשר אנוכי מצווך היום. 9. והותירך השם אלוקיך בכל מעשה ידיך, בפרי ויתנך ובפרי והמתך, ובפרי אדמתך לטובה. כי ישוב השם לסוס עליך לטוב, כאשר סס על אבותיך. תן כי תשמע בקול השם אלוקיך לשמור מצוותיו וחוקותיו הכתובה בספר התורה הזה, כי תשוב אל השם אלוקיך בכל לבבך uvachol nafshecha. I guess you were aware when reading the text in Hebrew or you read it in English, something happens. So let's take a look what happens gradually in the text. And that's an amazing example of psychological growth. What I do now, I take these terms in blue and put them in a table and try to see what are the stages which we see here. We have it here, and I can actually read it very easily in the text here and go afterwards to the table. The first step, we are in the diaspora, under all the nations that God has banished us there. And there we will have a tshuva elevavecha. It's very difficult to translate into English the term tshuva all the time in the same way. So I'm even not expecting that the Hebrew text will do that because it is strictly impossible. Vahashevota elevavecha. The first pasuk is aware that God has banished us to be in the diaspora, and there was a punishment for something. Not spelled out here, but spelled out in the previous two prakim. So we are aware that the punishment is from Hashem, but the tshuva is in our heart. The tshuva is not to Hashem, is not to the mitzvot, to the voice of Hashem, to all the Torah, which we have later. The tshuva is purely a psychological, personal experience. It goes to your heart. A person is doing cheshbon nefesh, an introspection in his heart. Why am I that far away, punished under all the nations, and there is a bracha and a klala, a blessing and a curse? What happened? And that is a question which I ask my heart. And I go back for introspection to my heart. Only in the next pasuk, we have v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. Now I look for a new orientation, a new direction, and I'm trying to approach the direction of God, Hashem Elokecha. Interesting enough, in English translated, you shall return unto the Lord. Ad means a direction to. It's not El. If you look at the Pasuk 10, Ki Tashuv El Hashem Elokecha, at the bottom of the slide, there it says, when you will return to Hashem, your God. But we are not yet there to return to Him. We are at the stage of, I'm searching for a direction. V'shafta Ad Hashem. We will come back to this difference of Lashuv El v'Lashuv Ad, Lashuv Ad v'Lashuv El, when we talk about Hosea 14, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta ba'aronecha. It's exactly the same. It's not by chance, and we have other examples for that. So the Torah is very much aware. At the beginning, the address is the heart. Afterwards, you go in the direction to Hashem. And what is the topic of the tshuva? V'shamata bekolo. You listen to his voice. The voice is the commandment for today. Kechol asher anochi metzavcha hayom. At that point in time, the mitzvah is listen to the voice. No, the mitzvah is not to do the mitzvot, to fulfill all the chukim, as we have at the very end, to realize and to practice and to bring to practice the entire Torah. No. Asher anochi metzavcha hayom is listen to the voice. There is a voice which talks to you. It's not yet the practical aspects. That is a beautiful insight of Pasuk 1 and 2. In your heart, and you find the direction, and you listen to a voice. Afterwards, Hashem responds right away. It seems he was waiting for our v'hashivota elevavecha, v'shafta ad Hashem elokecha, And he right away answers, responds, Veshav Hashem Elokecha et Shevutcha, Verichamecha, Veshav Vekibetzcha Mikol Ha'amim, Asher Hifitzcha Hashem Elokecha Sham. What is the response of Hashem? In the same token that we had double step, two steps, that we go to our heart and we go in the direction to Hashem, one and two, Hashem responds to us. And he will take our return, shvutcha. Shvut can also be captives. We are in the galut. We are far away. That is shvut Israel. And shivat Zion is coming back from the shvut. And he will have mercy. He will be merciful and he will collect you. V'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher hitfitzcha Hashem Elokecha Shama. And he will gather you. Where? From all the people. Where will he gather you? To Eretz Yisrael? Yes. That is what it says in Pasuk 5. V'hiviyacha Hashem Elokecha. God will bring us back to the land. But where is the collection in Pasuk 3? Akedat Yitzchak and Alchich, two commentators of the 15th century who experienced the expulsion from Spain. Interestingly enough, they say, Veshav Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha v'richamecha is not the way back to Eretz Yisrael. It is a collection of the Jewish people wherever they are. We talk together, we are together, and they phrase it very nicely. The first thing of the tshuva is that you go back to your heart, and afterwards, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have to collect ourselves, or Hashem will collect us, to be a nation. Rav Teichtal, who we'll talk about later, he said, the fact that all the Zionists at the end of the 19th century came together in one place, Switzerland and Basel, and they decided for the Congress, oh, we are one nation wherever we are in all the diaspora from all places, from all countries, we are one nation. That is a fulfillment of Pasuk Gimel. There is a rachamim, is a mercy of a collection of all the Jewish people, wherever they are. We are, we are defined as one nation. And afterwards only in Pasuk Gimel it says, Im yeni dachacha, wherever you are, Hashem will bring you back from there, and he will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, Pasuk 5, and you will come back to the land of your parents. Interesting enough, only afterwards, there is another level of tshuva, which we will see in Pasuk later, Pasuk 8. When you come back to Eretz Yisrael, Umal Hashem Elokecha et Levavcha ve'et Levav Zarecha. Hashem will remove the obstruction from your heart and the heart of your descendants. There is something which we were blocked. We were not capable to do. It is Le'ahava et Hashem Elokecha. It's the love v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha leman chayecha. We spoke at the beginning, el levavcha, el levavecha. One. We have b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. Two. And now we have b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha leman chayecha. It's for the sake of your life. Life has meaning. Life has a message. Life has life. L'chaim. That's what we enjoy to do. And that makes the life worthy to be lived. Leman chayecha. We will see how much there is a growth from el levavecha, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, leman chayecha. And that is a beautiful growth. Whatever happens in the heart is not only my heart, it is levav zarecha, the heart of our descendants. Descendants are my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, are all the future generations. Banecha in Pasuk Bet means you will make tshuva ata uvanecha. You will make it your and your children. And one can ask a good question. If I have a mitzvah of tefillin, I have to put on tefillin. But it doesn't say I have a mitzvah to put on tefillin together with my children. It doesn't say that. But for tshuva, the tshuva in chapter 2, in pasuk 2 is, you should listen to the voice with your children. The Torah wants to tell us in the second verse, if you do a process like that and you change the direction of your life, and the values of your life, it is you and you make it with your family. All you in your heart and in your soul. But once you are back in Eretz Yisrael, it is not your heart and your nafshecha. Now it is in Eretz Yisrael leman chayecha. And the children, banecha, are now zarecha. It is, you see all of a sudden the continuity of the generations. Why? Because we come back to the land of our parents. Pasuk 5. El ha'aretz asher yarshu avotecha v'yirishta, and you will be back. And we'll have all the blessings that you got, that your parents got. My father, great-grandfather, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Jewish people. When we are back in Eretz Yisrael from verse 5, there is a new dimension of history. History in the past, our parents, before we had to leave Eretz Yisrael 2,000 years ago. And there is a history for the future, not banecha, your sons. It is zarecha, your descendants, the future for many, many generations to come. And now that we are back in Eretz Yisrael, we get a political stability. We suffered a lot in the diaspora. V'natan Hashem Elokecha et kol ha'elot ha'ela al oyvecha ve'al soneecha asher adefucha. Those who pursued you, and we suffered from them, all these curses will go to your enemies if they don't accept you, because they were your enemies. But afterwards, you will have a recognition, not only you as a family, Pasuk 2, and not only you and your descendants, it is a national, a political recognition. No enemies anymore. Even back in Eretz Yisrael, where you're not exposed in other countries in the diaspora to enemies, now in Eretz Yisrael, you will enjoy recognition. Other nations, including the enemies and all those who hated you in the past, they will at the end recognize you. And now you start a new process of atatashuv. And you listen to the voice of Hashem. Here it says of his voice. Here it is the voice of Hashem. And you will do it and you will fulfill it. And you have the mitzvot, which you will fulfill the mitzvot. And the mitzvot are the topic of the commandments, Asher Anochi Metzavcha Hayom, which I command you today. In Galut, you had to listen to his voice. That was the commandment that I order you today. In Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill the mitzvot, because that's the homeland of the mitzvot. And you will have more. We will look at this pasuk tet very soon in more detail. Whatever you do, b'chol ma'aseh adecha, you will be blessed in your life, in your activities, in your whatever you do in your life, because Hashem will also come back to you, and Hashem will have joy. He will rejoice over you for many good things, the way he did it for your parents. And you will listen to the voice of Hashem for his mitzvot, his chukim, and his entire Torah written here, because you will come back to Hashem. What do we have here? Let's make a summary. 7 times the word tashuv. Twice, we go back to Hashem. Hashem right away answers us. It comes, the arrow goes from above down. He right away answers. He was waiting for our first step. He responds right away with his 2 steps. And he will take us back to Eretz Yisrael. in Eretz Yisrael, we have a new experience, not the diaspora galut experience. Now we fulfill it le'ahava with our descendants. Ve'ata tashuv. And Hashem responds right away with a lot of lasus, with a lot of rejoin. And at the end, ki tashuv, we will continue to do it in the best way. Not tashuv el, ad tashuv el. That is a beautiful development. So you need to be, to see the beauty of this dialogue. Who does the first step? We have to do the first step. But Hashem right away answers. Two steps from our tshuva, right away, two steps from the tshuva of Hashem. We start two steps, Hashem answers two steps. We do another step in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem does another step. And at the end, we continue this flow. We continue it. Chazal have an amazing midrash, and it is an outstanding midrash. I'm always impressed from this beautiful creativity of Chazal, who put this dynamic in the parasha. They put it in words. Amra Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. You start. Amar lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shuvu elai v'ashuva alechem. No. Hashem says, you start, Am Yisrael, and I will come to you. Who does the first step? It's like in the relationship. Who picks up the phone? Who makes the first initiative? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, end of Eicha, we are exhausted. Please help us start. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to start. There is a relationship and there is a machloket between God and Am Yisrael, who does the first step. Amra lefanav Knesset Yisrael, Ribono shel Olam. So the full explanation for this text is not in the Midrash in Eicha, is in the Midrash in Tehillim. Shuveinu Elohei Sheinu can mean that you take us back or we come back to you. The text tolerates both. Chachamim brought the third pasuk to say it is a joint effort. It's a thesis, it's an antithesis, and it is a synthesis. We work together. A beautiful midrash. Rihal, Rabbi Yudah HaLevi, puts it very nicely in one of his wonderful writings. V'tzeiti likratcha likrati v'tzaticha. When I come out to you, towards you, I find you that you came out to me to meet you. There is ongoing growth, a dynamic, a friendship, a love. I think that is expressed in the seven terms and in the beautiful development we see to each of these terms. And as I pointed out, there is a voice here symbolized with the ear. When we come back to Eretz Yisrael, the voice is not only a voice, which is the mitzvah, it is a fulfillment, a practical life of Torah and mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. And there's ongoing growth, as we have in green. We looked at it before when we read the Psukim, but there is one Pasuk which I want to draw the attention now to, and that is Pasuk 9. So this development is a beautiful dynamic in these Psukim. We discussed the difference between Ad and El, and we saw the difference, Banecha, your children, Zarecha, your descendants. These days, when I wrote it and showed it in the Chama Leibovitch, I was in medical school in Switzerland. I showed it to her with a lot of excitement, and she read it through, and she told me, Nachama Leibovitch, Zichrono Livrachas, Gesundheit, Mata Oseh Bechul. She told me, so what are you doing in Chutz La'aretz? If you write so beautifully that Zarecha, the future of Am Yisrael, is only in Eretz Yisrael, I shouldn't be in Chutz La'aretz. So, of course, she understood, but that was her response. We have now other very interesting insights. If we compare the text to a parasha in Sefer Dvarim, where all the klalot are spelled out. And I will not go in detail, but we see here that a lot of the terms you will not believe in your life, says Parshat Tochacha. because you will be in the diaspora and you will be punished, you and your Zal'echa ad olam. So all the terms which are presented in a negative way as a punishment, they return in the Parshat Tshuva? No, that's not the last, that's not the bottom line. There is a way to come back. The same terms are repeated here. That is actually a beautiful analysis. The saying, with all the punishment, there is always a way back. And let's remember, these are one of the last chapters of the entire Torah. The Torah ends with a beautiful song and the blessing of Moshe. But whatever happens to you, all the punishment, there is always a way back. And that's the message. There is no punishment which has no chance to be prepared. Now I want to compare Pasuk number 5, the 9th Pasuk. And that is outlined here. We have an interesting phenomenon, contextuality at the best. We have a Pasuk which is almost quoted exactly the same way, but there is a little bit of difference. In our parasha, we have, V'hotircha Hashem Elokecha, V'chol ma'asei adecha, B'fri b'tmacha, B'fri b'entacha, B'fri atmatcha, L'tova. And in the parasha, which we read this week, if you do it right, you have a blessing. You do it wrong, there will be a punishment. If you do it right, you have a blessing. We have almost the same Pasuk, but what is read does not appear in our parasha. Why? It's not that difficult to find the difference. That's not a big challenge. Spot the difference is not a big that challenge. The challenge is to explain it. Let's explain the differences and what a masterpiece of the Torah, which a lot of commentators say, oh, it's a quotation from above. It is a quotation with some changes for some reasons, or even not explained. But if we look at it carefully, we have two personalities. We have the tzaddik, who did the mitzvot in chapter 28, and he did it right, and he got the bracha. And we have in chapter 30, the Baal Tshuva, who did a lot of mistakes, and when he was far away, he realized it's time to return to Hashem. So he comes back to the bracha of the tzaddik, who got the blessing. But he got much more. He got a relationship to Hashem. V'hotircha Hashem. It is Hashem Elokecha. It's your God. Because the Baal Tshuva made his own way. The Baal Tshuva has something very unique. His personality. He found the way to God. It's not because it came to him by tradition and by family observance. It is his own God, which he found on itself. The addition of the word Elokecha is extremely meaningful. You can say it this way and this way, but the Torah makes the point. And most importantly, Bechol ma'aseh yadecha. When in whatever you do, in all the work, in all the activities of your hands, the Baal Tshuva is something very unique compared to the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik was raised up this way. He was educated. That's what he saw. That's what he did. That's what he learned. By nature, he was from birth. But the Baal Tshuva, he made a change. He did something. He can talk about his Ma'asei Adecha. And God will acknowledge in chapter 3, in chapter 30, you are not the same guy from chapter 24. Oh, you're very, very similar. But you have something additional. You have a great, an amazing upgrade. You have your Bechol Ma'asei Yadecha. And whatever you do is part of the Tova, which I will bless. I will bless what you do. At the beginning is, God gives you everything. It's his blessing. But the Letova here comes at the end. Why? From the syntax, you can put it here or there. Because the Letova here is a product of whatever you did. Hashem acknowledges what you did and you found the way to Hashem Elokecha and you did it. And that's actually what we see in Tehillim. If somebody comes back, God, to Hashem, chapter 90, V'hino Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu u'ma'aseh yadeinu konana aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konaneu. What we did. The blessing of a Baal Tshuva is that he can talk about his own accomplishment. Chazal put it in a beautiful way. Wherever Baalei Tshuva stand, it's tzaddik gamul from birth, he cannot stand there. The Baal Tshuva has much more to present. So that is a beautiful, I think, very accurate analysis of the text. There is much more to say to compare to Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Vayikra, we have a very similar parasham, not the emphasis of tshuva that comes at the end of the Torah. In Sefer Vayikra, we have a lot of punishment about brachot, blessings about the religious life, the temple, the ritual life, and mitzvot. In Sefer Dvarim, we have a lot of national, organizational, political issues, which are emphasized in Sefer Dvarim. So that's a good exercise to compare the intertextuality, which would be wonderful to present. Those who can read it in Hebrew, b'vakasha. And I have to skip now to the second part, what we saw from the analysis of the text, contextuality and intertextuality so far. I want to add on much more what happened to this text in later generations. And there is much more to say. I focus on Nachmanides and a little bit on Abravanel, who was some 200 plus years later, and two tremendous rabbis in the 20th century. And we have so much to learn how they read the text. I will focus on Nachmanides because in his disputation, we are taken to a very special place in his life. Yes, he has a commentary to the Torah, but a lot of things he says in the commentary are not mentioned to this parasha in the disputation in Barcelona and vice versa. So we have here a very interesting window to understand his personality, his response to history, his brilliant, brilliant mind. So I cannot do that. And amazing messages. I cannot go in much detail, but allow me to give a very quick information. He was called for a disputation, a public disputation in Barcelona. A lot is written about that. The king was there, King James II, and there was a Jewish guy called Pablo Cristiani. He converted to Christianity, and he attacked him about Jesus, about the diaspora, the New Testament, the Old Testament, a fascinating field. And he was one of the first to be involved in disputations between Christians and Jews. That's from Mark Gilbert's excellent historical atlas, which shows a difference. What happened in Paris in 1240, what happened in Barcelona later, what happened at the expulsion from Spain. It's a very interesting development. What the history of the disputations, and no doubt about it, that the Ramban was the father of all these disputations. He had the ground of all these in 1263, a debate, a disputation about the true faith, and he had the disputation there. 20 plus years beforehand, the Torah was burnt, the Talmud was burnt. Shalis srufa ba'esh lishlom avilaich hamitavim shchon b'chatzer zevulaich. A huge amount of text of the Talmud was destroyed and burned in Paris, Ile des Juifs, in the middle, in front of the Notre Dame, and the place is called, to these days, Ile des Juifs, the island of the Jews, in memorizing that. He had to come to the disputation there. And there is a history of the disputation where books were burned very, very soon. The Jews were burned in the Crusades and in later generations. And this development from killing Jews, burning the books and killing the Jews afterwards, the expulsion, there was an interesting flow, which we cannot elaborate. But once the Christians realized the Vatican and a lot of the monasteries, they had a clear effort to attack the Jews for their belief and that they did not accept Jesus. And Ramban had to be there. And now Ramban was forced to be there And that was at a time when Jacob the First finished the Reconquista. He conquered Spain. At that point in time, the glory of this success, Ramban was called to Barcelona, the dirty Jew from Gerona. Why did you not accept Christianity? And he had to present it there, a fascinating topic. There is a Hebrew version and there is a Latin version. There is some overlap. There is a Christian agenda and there is a Jewish agenda. And here the Ramban, there is a shared piece. Sorry for not having translated that, but that is such a tension that the Ramban had to come there for the disputation. And look what he tells him there. You claim that Jesus is the Messiah? How can that be? It says in the Bible that he will be the king over the entire world. But today, the Islam is much stronger than you. Despite the Reconquista, they are much stronger in Africa, much bigger. And it says in Yeshayahu that in future time, nobody will be engaged in war. They will take all their weapons and use them as agricultural tools to live in peace. And since Jesus, till these very days, the world is full of violence. והנוצרים שופכים דמים יותר משאר האומות. And the Christians are the worst to kill. Inquisition? No, not yet. 200 years later. Crusades? Yes, 100 years later. And how hard will it be for you, my dear king, and for your army, if you will stop fighting? You will not be involved in war anymore. That sounds like crazy Jewish chutzpah. It sounds, and look how true it is, the Reconquista and the Crusades in Eretz Israel. What a terrible period he lived in. And to say something like that to the king right away to his face, and the church is represented there, that is crazy Jewish chutzpah, which sounds from the Ramban like suicide. It's a German scholar from 1983, Hans-Georg Mutzius, who wrote his outstanding research, and he says that's one of the brilliant minds, most brilliant minds of Jewish history. The Ramban knew for sure the chances for him are or to lose. Not a win-win. If he is there, it will have a lot of consequences for the Jewish people. If he is doing a good job, he will be kicked out. And if he is doing a bad job, he will be killed. So Ramban knew exactly where he is. But with all the courage he had and with a clarity of mind, he told him, we are Am Yisrael. You want to kill me? You can kill me now. But if you kill me with violence and war, it's just another proof that you are for sure not the representative of Mashiach. That doesn't happen. That's not the future view that all the nations will live together. If you want to kill me, I know you can do that. But that is the reason of his Jewish so-called chutzpah, which is the only way for him to survive and to make a clear statement. What a brilliant, brilliant statement. And he writes there very clearly how tough it was to discuss there. Why do I bring that today? Because at the end it says, וקראתי להם פרשת והיה כי יבוא לך כל הדברים האלה. And I read him Dvarim chapter 30, what we discussed today. And it says there, all the curses will come to your enemies and those who hate you. ונתן השם אלוקיך את העלות האלה על אויביך ועל שונאיך אשר בפוך. Oh, the Jewish people suffers a lot. No shortage. Your enemies and those who hate you. The enemies are the Christians. Those who hate you is the Islam. And those who cause a suffering today, in the future, that won't happen anymore. In the commentary, he doesn't say that. In the Latin version, this section is not is not mentioned. Ramban had a deep belief that Parshat Dvarim is the identity card of Am Yisrael. V'chol ha-parasha, Ramban says in another place, this parasha says we have a future. Our future is brilliant. There will be a geula in the future. Mikol makom hinei geulateinu beyadeinu beshuveinu el Hashem. We have always the way to go for tshuva. Lo ibadnu ota barof pshayinu. And we did not lose the option of tshuva. Imagine 1263 in Spain. He was very successful. He wrote it as a wonderful 20-page essay work. And he had to leave Spain at the age of 70. And he came to Eretz Yisrael as a refugee from Spain. And he was so happy. And he saw the Crusaders there. And he was so happy. And he wrote his commentary, an update. During 2.5 years, he updated the text with great happiness. But he says every special place is totally destroyed. Every holy place to the Jewish history. That was his deep belief in Jewish history. It's Parshat Tshuva and the concept of Tshuva, which was leading for his mind to survive all the suffering in the diaspora. And during the darkest period, when he had to be at the disputation, and he walked away as a big, big winner, and he wrote it down. That is one. Now we have to do quickly the three others. It is Don Yitzhak Abravanel, a master of commentary to the Bible and of thinking about Geula, Yeshua. He has wonderful, wonderful pieces. And he lived at the time of the Maranos. And the Maranos was a pain for the Jewish people. He had to escape Spain. He tried to change the mind of Ferdinand and Isabella, not successful. And he had to escape. He went to Italy, to Venezia, Padua, where he died. And he gives an outstanding commentary to Pasuk 1. You remember Pasuk 1 is a tshuva in your heart among all the nations. So he says that there are two parts of the Jewish people. Those who can fulfill the mitzvot and listen to the voice and can move freely to Eretz Yisrael, those are the happy Jews, lucky. But there is a group of Jews which will fulfill their Jewish life hidden in the basement, in the shelters, in the forest, in the mountain, the Maranos. And those will make a tshuva only in their heart, between all the nations where God has banished you to be. So he addresses the Maranos in person. You are not lost. Don't give up. Don't be frustrated. The Torah speaks about you right away in Parshat Tshuva, right away in the first Pasuk. What unbelievable source of emuna, of reinsurance, and of hope he can give to people who suffered so badly from the Inquisition. If somebody was accused in the Inquisition, the worst thing he could do is to deny it, because he proves he is a Jew. Terrible, terrible. There is in Spain a museum of torture, which I saw a few years ago. A disaster, what they were capable to do in the name of the church. And here is the Abravanel and says, the special love of Parshat Tshuva goes right at the beginning to the Maranos. Maranos is a translation from Spanish of a pig, because they behaved in the eyes of the Spanish population as pigs, or they were eating chazir, pig, just to make an impression. But Chazal, and that's Tshuva of the Rashbash, they have an interesting term. Bnei hamumarim ha'arelim ha'nikraim anusim. It says when those who converted and are not, don't have a circumcision, the children of the anusim, hanikraim anusim, when they come back, you should accept them with a lot of chesed. We should accept them. The love for the anusim reflected in the Abravanel in this tshuva. Please pay attention to the term, how they call it, bnei hamumarim hanikraim anusim. That is, as a German scholar, Jewish scholar pointed it out, Simmels, mumar anus is a word for mar anus, maranus. That's the Jewish term for maranus. You are not a pig. You are a mumar anus by violence. What unbelievable emuna Abravanel found. So these are two amazing rabbis, Ramban and Abravanel, who took this parasha and had special messages from this parasha for their wife, for their generation. Might be the most powerful, and I can't compare them, is Rav Teichtal in his amazing book, Eim HaBanim Smecha, which he wrote in Budapest the last year when he escaped Slovakia, where he was a Rosh Yeshiva. And he grew up and was part of the Slovakian Orthodox rabbis, that Zionism is punishment, is a isul. You should not engage with non-religious people. Stay there and we'll wait till Mashiach comes. And he reads in a shelter somewhere in Budapest, hidden, till his last day when he was sent in January 45 to Auschwitz. He was killed on the way or might be in Auschwitz. And he wrote a masterpiece book of Eim HaBanim Smecha, how guilty we are as rabbis that we did not encourage the Aliyah. How guilty we are that there was a process of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, as it says in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 30, you listen to the voice and you come back to Eretz Yisrael, and there you will fulfill the mitzvot totally. Le'ahava. And he has a masterpiece of this book, which every time I read it, and I read it many times, it comes with an incredible power that the top Talmid Chacham, he didn't have books, he writes there. He sits in a shelter, not knowing what will happen to him. And he is there almost a year and puts his whole thoughts on a piece of paper. His children found it and published it. He changed his mind and he realized we live Parshat Tshuva. And I will finish. That's a masterpiece. It's translated to English. And there's a lot of research, many doctorate theses on him, a masterpiece. Rav Kook, who lived a little bit earlier, but I take him at the end because his positive outlook is a good closing. Of course, he spoke a lot of commentary in his letter. And in one of his letters, he says, Im yavo adam, lechadesh dvarim elyonim beiskei tshuva bizman hazeh. If somebody is coming and wants to say anything about tshuva in our days, and he is not realizing that the geula, the redemption, and the return from the Jewish people from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote that before 35, when Hitler was, when he took over, he had a clear statement, a clear vision. Rav Kook is called in Hebrew Haroeh, the visionaire, abbreviation of his name, Harav Avraham Yitzchak Abraham Kook. He had a clear vision. If you don't realize that tshuva is always connected to the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, he will never understand a word of the Torah. So that is a clear statement. So I don't have enough time in the last few minutes to elaborate that. What incredible message we live from this Torah, from this section in the Torah, for our generation, that we can come back. And the tshuva today is in a different place than 100 years ago, than 200 years ago, 700 years ago. What incredible message we have of a mitzvah coming back. When I was younger, I tend to argue with rabbis in Chutz Laaretz why they don't encourage aliyah. And it was not successful, mostly not successful. The message is clear that in our generation, this parasha is relevant more than at the time of the Ramban, than at the time of the Abravanel, than at the time of Rav Teichtal. And we have the privilege to come back, and we have the privilege to rebuild and to fulfill this parasha in our life. And everything that else I wanted to say, I have no time, but you will fill it in on your own. every way in his own way. That is the summary of this parasha. We read the text and we looked at the history of this beautiful parasha. Bezrat Hashem, next week we should talk about Yirmiyahu as a preparation for Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm happy to take some easy questions.
Thank you very much, Rabbeinu. It's amazing how you can apply the Torah to specific events in history through our day today, through what we're living through now. It's amazing. So,
thank you, Rabbeinu. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thanks.
So clear.
Thanks for listening.
Organized. Thank you.
Any comments? Any questions, comments?
It's just brilliant, the wisdom, the way it was organized, and the way you show us and teach us. It's just, it makes you even more in awe of all of this.
Thank you very much. I was invited when I was 14 years old. Daniel, we grew up together in Switzerland. I was invited to give a talk for Rosh Hashanah to the non-religious youth organization. And they told me, take just whatever you want and read it with us, teach us. And I was 14, 15 years old. I took these 9-10 psukim. That was at the age you won't believe, without PowerPoint. And I had to teach in German. And we did it next to the hotel where Herzl was at the conference, the first Congress in Basel. Leat Tashlich, Daniel. And they read it, and I saw how excited they were about the text. The first time for a lot of them to meet a biblical text. And I told them, just explain, tell me, I read, you read it, we read it in German. And when I think through afterwards, I wrote it and showed it to Nechama Leibovitz and presented it whenever I can. I love this text. I presented it in a way that you can print it out and learn it and teach it. Those who can read the Hebrew can continue or can teach it in English the way you like. I invite you to read it over and over, the dynamic and the growth of Levavcha el Levavich. Ad Hashem is a masterpiece of the text. I can't take the credit, Jennifer, for myself. It's only the Bible who says that. It is a masterpiece of the growth of a Baal Tshuva. And what I enjoy to do, if I see a Baal Tshuva, and we spoke about the greatness of a Baal Tshuva and those who were educated, I ask them, how did you come to that? Or a Geir Tzedek. And they tell me their story. And afterwards, I take the text and tell them, let's read it together. And they tell me, oh, it's exactly here what happened to me. So I think the text is actually a psychological mirror for a lot of people, what they went through or what the parasha wants us to go through. It is really a masterpiece of psychological insights. Audrey, were there any comments? I didn't look at the chats. At the chat.
No, only nice ones. And Jennifer already said what she wrote. So Jennifer, if you want to say it again, I don't know. But basically, Jennifer wrote, your lectures, are a class in and of itself in how to teach, aside from all that you teach us. So,
thank you very much.
Right, thank you, Rabbeinu. I think it's amazing, like just from one letter, you can pull out, even from one letter with the Tov, La Tova, you pull out messages. So I think what you're doing here, when you point things out, you make us more aware of how important it is to really just look at the text.
So Rabbeinu, I was noticing also in chapter 28, the Hotircha is chaser with the Yud. And for the Baal Teshuvah, the Yud it's Malay. The Yud is there. Lovely.
So thank you very much. I pointed that out. And I'm always nervous to say too much details because The person told me once I should present only 10%. It's enough. So I want to apologize. What I presented here in the paper there is much more. What you said now is V'hotircha here has a yud. Is there a difference between a yud, yes or not? Look in Parashat, in Sefer Vayikra. It says there, chapter 21:1, Kadosh yiyelach, the Kohen should be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem kadishchem, because I'm holy, who gives you the holiness. God is the source of the holiness, and He is kadosh. But if kadosh is applied to the human being, it is written chasel, without the vav. Kadosh, we have a commandment. Kadosh yihyelach. Kdoshim to you. We have the obligation to thrive for it. Ki kadoshani, because Hashem is holy, He is Hashem and He has the vav, plena. So if you look at these details, it is amazing. Very often we think it doesn't work. I would say it with a little bit more modesty. We don't understand it. But if you respect the text that something is there, hopefully at the end, at least part of it, we will find. But if you think it's all by accident, you will never see it. It's in front of your eyes. You will never see it because you decided it's better to be blind. So that is a wonderful example. And if you think about the psychology that the Baal Teshuva, what he does, he brings something from himself, b'chol ma'aseh adecha. What a powerful message. Thank you very much. Is there anything else, Audrey?
No, there isn't, but I think we should all try to be Baalei Teshuva.
Yeah, also I came to this conclusion.
If we pick something small, then we can be at least Baalei Teshuva in that.
I accept it. Let's try for it. Let's try it. Now, next week's Shi'ur is on Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph. Today we had our 10 psukim. I read the Hebrew text and you had the English, so we could cope with that. It was not that huge an amount of text. I would like to talk next week a little bit about Yirmiyahu as a book. And I want to talk about this chapter and some highlights. I can only pick very, very little from it because it's too big. But if you could please read a little bit chapter 31. Or to go from what is the structure of the book, it will make it easier.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Shana Tova. Shabbat.